Today is January 28th, 2005. My name is Michael Rodriguez, and we're here for the Michigan Writers Series to talk to Rachel Perry. We can take this in a number of different directions, but I always start with this question. This is the Michigan Writers Series, and you seem to be especially a Michigan writer.
Yeah.
And you write about Michigan, if not the Midwest.
Right.
So, and I read at least what I had time to read of your book.
Thank you.
It was great. And I was wondering about, I have this question about style. And being a Midwesterner, do you think that in the very nuts and bolts way of the way you make sentences, the way people talk, you know, is that particular to Michigan? And does that, you know, how does that sort of inform the writing here?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I'm place as setting is extremely important to my work, and I think that it really informs the characters and even the plot, you know, what mm-hmm. actually goes on. I don't really feel like it could go on in any other place. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously it could, but in terms of the stories, yes, I think people talk a certain way, they behave a certain way here. Kind of a Midwestern humbleness, maybe, or the sort of hard work ethic mm-hmm. of Midwesterners. I really feel like that informs the characters mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah, yeah.
And what about the style? I mean, I asked this question, and I've asked it of a few other people, that Midwesterners seem to take style much more seriously than people from the coasts. I don't know why. I mean, you think of Hemingway and the great stylists like that. And the great stylists usually come from the Midwest.
I really hadn't given that much thought, but now that you bring it up, it's an interesting point. I can't say for certain. I think that, a writing style is certainly a way that not only does it differentiate writers from one another, but it's kind of a way that we seek the truth through the writing, that somehow you can more truly describe something or more truly get at the heart of a character with a certain style.
Right. Well, and it's a big part of your style in this particular book, which is called How to Fly, mm-hmm. Is to translate the actual speech of the people that populate the stories in this very stylized sort of fashion.
Right,
too.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I'm getting at, is that it seems to me Midwesterners pay attention more to what people say and exactly how they say it. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, well, no, there may be something to that. I don't know. I don't know that we're more patient people in the Midwest. Yeah. I can't say that there's necessarily less going on here than there are in some of the big cities on the coast, but certainly, at least back in the day, the pace of life might have been a little bit different. I don't know. That's an interesting point.
Yeah. Moving away from Michigan just for a second, the idea that you spent how many years overseas?
We spent 2 years overseas.
Two years.
Yeah, yeah.
But you came back, and this book was finished after you came back? Is that
correct?
Yeah,
well, it was, yeah, yes, that is correct. Mm-hmm. I think most of the stories, I had written stories before I went. I wrote stories while I was there, and I think one or two I added once I got back. But I really did a lot of revision and working on the book overseas.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm asking because you spent all that time overseas, but there's no
right.
stories about being
no.
over, you know.
Yeah. No, it's all Michigan.
Where
it's all
you?
Set in
Germany?
Michigan. Düsseldorf, Germany.
Düsseldorf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that I wasn't homesick in the traditional sense. I was so excited to be there. I never really traveled very much. I certainly had never been in Europe before. And it was such a thrill that I tried to embrace the life as it was going on around me and be a part of it. Learn German, learn about the culture, all these things.
Did you know German before you went?
No,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's a very hard language to learn.
It is tough.
And
I did pick some up. I studied it while I was there. My grammar is still terrible, but by the end of the time, I definitely got myself around and I could have conversations, things like this. But I felt like, in a way, I was writing myself home, that the fictions put me home and that the distance helped me see home a little more clearly. So I really think that this theme of home kind of emerged from the stories because of the time I spent away.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So in order to understand something better, you have to remove yourself from it, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Or to something like that. So what I wanted to talk about the library. How did you get a job working in a library in Germany?
Well, so I didn't have a work permit or anything. I had a visa because my husband had a work permit and a visa. And so they let me travel with them and go with them and live there. But I obviously wanted to work as well. And I was working on my own stories and I was doing some freelance writing. And that was good, but, you know.
What kind of freelance writing were you doing?
Oh, I did some travel stuff. I did some website, mostly online stuff, to be honest. I have a background in newspapers, so I did a little bit of that.
Rachel used to be the editor of the state news.
I did, proudly. Yeah. So, anyways, so I get to Germany and I just think, I need to fill my time as well. I want to write and I want to do my stuff. I need to get out of the apartment and, you know, get into the community. And I found out about this international library, they call it. I started out as a volunteer at first. I didn't have a work permit or any papers. And then I volunteered there for several months, and they asked me to come on as part of the staff. So I did. And that took a little while, too, because you have to apply for the work permit, and it takes time.
So. What did you actually do in the library?
Very simple things. I mean, I worked at the circulation desk. I tried to organize collections. Mm-hmm. So they were often trying to have events that were specific to the expatriate community. Mm-hmm. And others, like Germans, who were interested in English-speaking literature. It was mostly an English-language library. It was, I should have said that, shouldn't I have?
Yeah. Well, that makes things a lot easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it helped me practice my German, though, too, because not everybody did speak English. But it was the story behind the library. It's just this beautiful, delightful place. I found it to be. It was just my sanctuary when I was there. But it's a British library that was started during the British occupation of Germany after World War II. It was a collection that was started for the soldiers who were living there. And once the army pulled out, they just kept the library there, and it was taken over by a nonprofit group who sort of fought tooth and nail, and still do, to keep it open. But it's a beautiful place. I hope to go back there and visit.
So it's an old building too.
It is. Well, it's part of it. It's actually part of an old building. So it doesn't have even its own building, but it's maybe a portion of a floor right in the middle of the Altstadt, the old part of the city.
So after you were through being in Germany, you came back. Of all the places you could have gone after Germany,
all the places,
you came back to Michigan.
Yes, it called us back.
Yeah.
Well, we were over during a pretty intense time, the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon.
That's right.
That happened then. And I think we felt home even more keenly, and those around us did, who obviously they knew we were American. You can't I sort of laughed at people who laughed is too harsh, but people who talked about traveling overseas but, you know, acting as if they were Canadian to hide their American identities. It just seems ridiculous, because you wear America all over you, I think, without even talking. So we felt the pull of home, and I don't know, I guess it just felt right to come back.
Yeah.
It did feel right.
So you moved back to Michigan, and you're not teaching, you know. There's a point, there's a way, there's a direction I'm going
in. I'm with you then.
You're not teaching, and so but you're doing your writing. Are you part of any sort of community in terms of writing?
It's an important question, because I think sort of the stereotype of the writer, or you mentioned Hemingway earlier, especially when I was growing up, when I thought of writers, they were, you know, these older men who had the glass of scotch and the cigarette, or cigar, it was okay, and they had the old-fashioned typewriter, and they sat in the shadowy corner, right, and just banged away. And so somehow that seems to be an image, an endearing image to most people, that writers work in that type of isolation. But, I'm not an old man, and I don't smoke, and I really don't like scotch at all. So I had to find, you know, some other way for myself. And I think a community of writers is really important. I did teach a free year after I came back. And before we went to Germany, I taught. I did.
Well, I saw that you taught at Bowling Green.
I did. Yeah, I taught at Washtenaw Community College in Ann Arbor when I came back. And I loved it. I love teaching. But I put so much energy into it. Mm-hmm. And I love the students that I work with that I wouldn't call it a distraction because that's unfair. I think that the teaching is so important as well. But for me, a lot of the creative energy I would have put into my work, I put into mm-hmm. teaching instead. So I have
So you felt like you weren't doing as much writing when you were teaching?
Oh, for sure not. Yeah, yeah. But also just that... yeah, that I wanted to do my best for them, for the students, mm-hmm. and so that was kind of top of my priority
list.
Were
you teaching writing?
Yeah, always writing. Classes? Yep, creative writing and composition is what I taught. Mm-hmm. But I'm lucky to have a really nice, solid core group of writers that I knew in Bowling Green that I mm-hmm. still am in contact with. Melissa Frederico's one, Bonnie Jo Campbell, who's like my...
She was at Bowling Green too?
She taught at Bowling Green. Yeah. She's like my guardian angel. She's my miracle worker. She helped with the publication of the book. Yeah, I owe her so much. I admire her greatly as a writer, but I do think she's like as an individual, just this force for good. Yeah. I really admire her.
She's become quite successful too.
Deservedly so.
I don't know outside of Michigan, but
well, it's hard to say. I mean, she her books have been recognized. Yeah. I mean, the first book, of course, was an award winner, the AWP award winner, and the second book. Was recognized by that Barnes & Noble Great Young Writers mm-hmm. Series. So, but yeah, it's since I don't live outside of Michigan, I can't say. But she's gotten some good attention and she deserves it.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky to be able to have those writers to call on, and I also run a little writers group in my South Lyon Library. Mm-hmm. I do, and I like that. Mm-hmm.
It's you nice. Actually meet at the library?
We meet at the library. Mm-hmm. See, libraries and I, we have this history. We're linked.
So people think libraries are a good thing.
Yeah, I would be one of those people. Yeah, you know, I would.
Last question, baseball.
Yes.
I saw that, of course, I asked whenever I see baseball on anybody's bio. I saw on your list of publications that you published something in Sports Literate. So are you a big baseball fan?
Huge baseball fan.
And is this something you write about?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say a lot because I have this terrible concern in my writing about sentimentalizing things mm-hmm. that I don't want to be overly sentimental. And I love baseball, and baseball just lends itself to that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm cautious when I write about it. Mm-hmm. But I just finished an essay about baseball, and one of the stories in the book is about baseball. Yeah, yeah. Huh. Are you a big fan yourself?
I am. But this interview is not about me.
Okay, sorry.
Too much, actually.
Well, when the microphones turn off, we can talk some more.
Are you a Tigers fan?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes, they break my heart every year.
Well, they've got to be better for them to actually break your heart.
Yeah, no, don't say it. They are better. they've got some talent coming in. I have hope. Every year I have hope. My dad and I talk about this. We do. We are hopeful every year.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot. I should say welcome home.
Thank you.
And we'll look for you in the bleachers.
Thank you very much. Hopefully we'll see you there.
Yeah. Thanks.